Praise the Lord. Let's start with a prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that as we come together, and Lord, your Spirit is with us, and we open ourselves to you, Lord. We ask you that your word might minister to us. May, Lord, enable us to hear with our ears and to receive in our hearts. Because that is where you want to touch us. That's where the difference is going to be made. And so we just thank you in advance and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We have been... excuse me. We have been talking about the importance of our relationship with God. You know, it's not, God doesn't want a religion, didn't need to make another religion. He wanted to have a relationship with his people. And that's something that not often is talked about and not often is understood what it means. Okay, it's not a question of knowing about God. It's a question of actually experientially knowing Him. It's a question of, having actually, an interaction with Him that is not just one way, it's not just a Bible study, but it's really, that you are interacting with Him and He is interacting with you. And we have to understand that that makes all the difference. Because, your mental knowledge about God doesn't help you too much. It's when even you don't know too much about Him, but you had some experiences with Him, that is what changes your life. And that's when He has the opportunity to minister to you and to enable you to receive the things that you need rather than just information. Information without being reality for you doesn't make any difference. Has no power. The mind has no power. It's the spirit that has the power. Our spirit has power. Our spirit makes a difference. Okay. And in our spirit, we are going to receive. As and the part of that allowed it to happen is our heart. God deals with our heart. God is a heart God. God deals with us at the heart level. And He changes the heart. You know, Jeremiah and other places, talking about the new, the what he was going to do with Israel, with his people, was to give them a new spirit and a new heart. Okay, the new spirit is Him, but the new heart is really the things that is changed in us. And we have to understand that, and we have to understand that that's where the impact of our knowing God. That's where we know God. We don't know it appear. We know it in our heart, which is not really necessarily here, but it's it's the part of us between our spirit and our mind. It's where we make choices, where we make judgments about things. When we understand that and we start experiencing that, then we start to know Him. Praise the Lord. Now, we've been talking about that, so I'm not going to go into all this stuff again. Okay? But really, the important thing we have to understand, okay, that everything that we relate to God, Any connection we have with God is not physical, because God is a spirit. We cannot connect with God by doing physical things. Something has to happen at a spiritual level within us for a connection be made there. And that's the difference between all the religions and Christianity. I mean, that's one of the differences. Okay. There has to be that connection on a spiritual level that has a much more power, much more impact, much more effect of changing us than anything else. Okay. Now, you know, everything that we connect with God is always on a spiritual level. You have to remember that. It's not by doing things that you impress God. It's not even how much time you pray. You know, that doesn't impress God. Lots of people that are not even Christian pray more than Christians do. And that's not, doesn't do it. Doesn't make any difference. You know, when you come to know Him, it's just a decision that you do at the heart level to be open to Him and to establish that connection with Him. That makes all the difference. We are saved by faith, not by doing works, not by studying the Bible even. You know, so the Bible gives you the information sometimes that you need to know to be able to do things, absolutely, but don't distort with the things that I'm trying to say to you. Is the fact that we have an actual heart level relationship with Him that produces the difference. And that gives us the power to overcome. Now, I want to, you know, deal with, you know, us dealing with God, us interacting with God. Okay. And, you know, as I said before, we cannot go by the physical part. It's not ceremonial. It's what happens inside us that makes the difference. We can know all the great ceremonies, all the religions and ceremonies. Doesn't do anything. The power of God comes from a spiritual level. It comes from the supernatural dimension. Because God is there. Jesus said it very clearly. You know, those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that happens inside you, not outside. You cannot go by the appearance. You have to go by what's going on inside, and you cannot do it by looking at something. And when you do that, generally you get confused and God get out of tangent. Okay? Now, in dealing with situation in our life, okay, is where we actually learn to deal with God. Is God cares about what happens to us as we live our life. And now the way we live our life, you know, determines our approach to the way we live our life, the way we see things, okay, depends on the way we understand life and God and the spiritual dimension. Because everything boils down there, okay? That's where everything comes from. God created everything from the spiritual dimension into the physical. The physical is the outcome at a certain level, but it's not the key, not the important part. What is really important in the spiritual, because the spiritual is eternal. The physical is temporary, as you're going to see. So we have to see that our judgment about things should not be based on the physical, but we should be basing us on the spiritual side of things. We cannot go by the appearances of what's happening around us, but we have to understand how to see beyond the appearances. This is what God wants, you know, and that is where, you know, because we cannot see the spiritual dimension, as I explained last week that Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus, you know, you cannot see the spirit, but you can see the effect of the spirit on the physical. Okay? So you cannot see those things, but they're real and they're more real, and that they're the reason why the physical things happen the way they happen. So when you are wanting to deal with the physical situation, you have to go beyond the physical situation because they don't tell the whole story. Okay. And when we understand that, then we have to go to the Bible, which is the source of the spiritual information for us, and get the direction that we need to be able to do the right thing, to make the right choices, to get the proper understanding. We're still there. So, you know, one of the things that we had to do, you know, has to do everything with operating at the spiritual level. And one of the things that we had to realize when we're dealing even with physical things, that we cannot judge or think just at the physical level. We had to get direction and information which is spiritual. And that means, you know, that one of the way we operate with God all the time, and everything that we get from God is, the Bible says, is by faith. Okay, faith is the, you know, faith is a fruit of the Spirit, but it's not just the fruit of the Spirit. It depends on us too. Okay, faith is a decision we make to believe God, to acknowledge His reality, His existence, even if we don't see Him. And we connect with Him even if we don't see Him, by faith. That's where that connection takes place. And is not related or connected to the circumstances, should be at the level of beyond the circumstances, beyond the appearances. See, God doesn't go by the appearance, goes by the heart, and the heart is the closest part to our spirit that we have within ourselves. But it's a place that is almost conscious. Okay. Now, so when we deal with circumstances, sometimes, you know, we don't have problem. When we don't have problem and we, you know, everything is fine, we don't care. I mean, we just don't need to make decisions. You need to take steps. But when something doesn't go wrong, then we want to get some solution. We want to do the right thing. We want to be able to resolve the problems we have. Okay, that's the time when we cannot go just by the physical appearances, because they are limited in providing the information that we need. What we have to do is to go beyond those and go to the spiritual level that is going to give us the extra information that makes us making the right decision instead of the wrong decision. Okay. And so we can see, you know, what the Bible tells us about that. And last week I was talking about, you know, I think I finished last week with the message that, you know, I was going to show you Jesus' strategy to be able to do that. I want to get there. I'm going to take a bit of time here. I want to base on a number of other scriptures. Okay. Okay. Wherever we are, you know, in the world, we are going to have circumstances sometimes that are not really favorable, that give us trouble, because that's the way the world is. Okay, but that doesn't mean that we have to be overcome. Okay, God is with us. He wants us to overcome. He wants to help us to resolve the problems that we have. So when we have problems, when we have called trials or you can call them temptations, same thing. There are very clear instructions in the Bible on how we have to deal with those things so that we can come out overcomers and we are going to have victory at the end. And instead of being damaging to us, they're going to be promoting us at a bigger level, at a better level. God does not want us to be losers because he is not a loser. See, but you look at Jesus, he died on the cross, looks like, you know, how bad it can be because people look at the physical. They don't see what was happening at the spiritual level that is one of the greatest victory that ever anybody has achieved. Okay, that's the difference. That's what we have to understand. Okay, never anybody did a will in the future. Did anything close as that. And the world look at that and says, oh my goodness, you know, how useless can you be? Yes. That should reflect where you should be. And he took our place. So that we don't need to be there. Are you still with me? See, that's important to understand. That he did that and he did it for us so that we don't need to go through that and we actually can have all the benefits of what he has demonstrated that he has achieved. He made a show of principalities and power and he's higher than any of them. It's going to take longer than I expected. I will. I always do. Anyway, so I want to start with James chapter 1 because it talks about the trials that we go through and talk about how to handle them. But we are going to talk, not just that, other scriptures, so that, you know, when you put scriptures together, see, scriptures justifies and explains scriptures. It's not, you can take a scripture and just preach on that, and just it doesn't tell you the whole story. You have to take all the scriptures that are related to that so that you get the network of information that you need to have. Are you with me yet? All right. So, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or temptation, or you want to call it that. You know, this is talking to everybody. Nobody who you are, you're going to have problems sometime or another. Okay, sometime more than other times. Okay. And really, the way to operate in that, in those situations, is not in the physical. You have to move in the spiritual dimension and operate in faith. That means believing God, receiving direction from God. This is where your interaction with God becomes critical for you to succeed. All right. So, this is important. Okay. It doesn't say, be all joyful because you're going through trials. I mean, you know, I have a real problem today, hallelujah. You know, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But you have to count it all joy. So there has to be, you know, consider it all joy. Or, you know, that's important to understand how to take that count it all joy. Okay. And explain it there, you know, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So you see, what the trials is going to do, you should develop patience in you. Patience or endurance is another word that possibly reflects better the Greek word used there. Okay, the fact is you go through things, but they don't affect you emotionally, they don't affect you mentally, you are standing on them and holding on. Okay, so that, you know, really what God wants you and what the faith that you exercise is going to produce. So you see, faith is what enables you to develop patience or endurance. Otherwise, you are going to give in under the pressure. Are you still with me? So that, but you know, patience, you know, is faith lots of people want, but patience not too many. I remember a friend of mine, you know, Dr. Alex Ness, passed away, but he would say, you know, don't pray for patience, because if you pray for patience, you're going to have trouble. I don't know if you need to pray for patients to have trouble. You know, that's another story, because those are come anyway. But the point is, you know, the idea is that we are not there trying to pray for trouble, but we want to actually know how to resolve the trouble when they come. Okay? And this is the way you do it. You know, use faith, which is actually trusting and believing God, who is going to give you the way out of the problem. He's going to give you the direction that you need. Okay? So, in the, you know, the thing is, the importance of patience is that it develops in you. It's like a muscle, you know? If you use faith, you know, if you do the exercise, the muscle become bigger. Okay? If you exercise faith, your patience become bigger. And that means you can endure bigger things and you can overcome bigger things. This is what God wants to do with you, with us, with everybody. Okay, and that's the way you do it, is exercising by trusting Him. By trusting, why trusting Him? You know, it's not just a question of trusting Him and going through in the hardship. No, it's trusting Him so that you can hear what He's saying and you can get the direction that, you know, start thinking the way He wants you to think, and He provides you the solution for the problem. See, it's not just a one-way thing. Okay, I'm to believe in God. No, God gives back to you more than what you put in. He gives you the information, the perception, the feelings, the everything that you need to get through with patience. You see, and patience has its perfect work. You see, that is where you perfect your faith. How do you, people ask all the time, how do I get my faith stronger? How do I get more faith? Deal with your problems in the right way, using faith. And then automatically, you see, as you develop faith, your faith is, as you develop patience, your faith is going to boost up, is going to grow, is going to be stronger. That's what it's saying to us here. It's not, you don't get faith by praying. You get faith by overcoming. See, God, give me faith. Doesn't work. See, faith is a decision we make to believe God instead of other things, instead of the physical appearances that we see that sometimes are negative. So we believe God and the promises of God and what God said, so that we can get the strength, you know, to go through and says, no, no, it's okay. He is supporting, He's helping me, He's getting me through. That's what faith is. Okay. So, but the thing is, you know, the perfect work the patience has to have, okay, that you may be, you, not somebody, you may be perfect or complete, lacking nothing. That's the way we are going to grow spiritually. That's the way we are going to overcome. That's the way we are going to succeed in the things that we are going to are facing us. Anytime, don't look at the circumstances, because the circumstances are going to become bigger and bigger, and you are going to become more and more useless. Okay. Now, okay, so patience, okay, is important. Because without patience, okay, your faith will fail. See, patience undergird your faith so that the faith can stand about when the things come. Okay. But, you know, it's just not, there is not that relationship. It's more complicated than that, and we're going to see what happens. Okay, patience is important because it's an important piece of the process according to which you hold up your faith and you get the result. You know, faith, patience, result. 1, 2, 3. Okay, it's a process. And then automatically the faith gets stronger. And next time you do better. Because why? Because you actually went through something that affected you at the spiritual level and at the heart level, in which you are going to make different decisions that you made before, and you know what to do about those things, so that you, next time, you know what to do. You don't need to wait, just keep going. Okay? Now, so let me continue. So Jesus had a strategy that shows us how to actually connect faith with patience without being affected by the circumstances. Okay. And that connects completely with the scripture I was reading, but it's in Hebrew. Okay? It's in Hebrew chapter 12. Okay. There's a starting from verse 1. We just go, you know, therefore, also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, here he's talking about the great cloud of witnesses, which is referred before in chapter 11. Okay, now everybody in the chapter 11 used this principle. It wasn't just Jesus' idea. You know, that's the scriptural idea to deal with negative situation. Everybody listed there, all the clouds of witness that the hero of faith, they all operated the same principle. You can see in Abraham, you can see in all the others there. Okay. They all did the same thing. And so that we are going to see. And talks about, you know, lay aside. That means, you know, you make a decision. You don't, you know, what you do. Okay? We lay aside every weight. Everything that hinders you from getting, from progressing, from doing things, you just put it on the side. Don't stay on that. You just remove it from your way. Okay? And the sin which easily ensnares us, really the sin, the major sins, is unbelief. Because all sins come from unbelief. Okay, because you don't believe the word, so you go out your way. So no, it says here, you lay out, say everything, don't focus on that, don't spend time on thinking about him. Okay, and run with endurance. Endurance on faith, that's the same word in Greek. Okay, run with endurance. Okay, the race is set before us. So that's what we do. We lay aside it. And then goes on verse 2. You see, this is the way, that's the focus we had to have. The same focus that Jesus had. Okay, it says looking unto Jesus, that's what we had to look at. You know, not just Jesus, you know, just Jesus is going to fix us. No, Jesus is our example on how to deal with the situation. Because that's what he did, that's what he explains here. Okay? He's not just saying Jesus, Jesus, but understanding the way he operated, because that's the way we had to operate. He's our example on how to do. And what it says here is, you know, the author and finisher of our faith. So you see, that's where the faith comes, because as we see him operating in faith, we learn to operate in faith. We learn to hold on our faith. It's not that just by looking at Jesus we get the faith. No, we're looking at Jesus, we learn how to have faith. Because we do the same thing that he did. And what did he do? For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. So you see, he didn't look at the cross, he didn't look at the problem, he didn't look at the situation, he looked beyond that. And you do that by faith. So you see, by faith, he looked at the things that was promised. And he was going, looking there, focusing on there, not what you have to go through. See, that's what you had to go through. That's the same thing that you had to do when you are facing trouble, because you don't look at the problem. What you look at, you give power. Becomes big. The more you look at it, and the bigger it gets. No, just look beyond that and focus on that, and that gives you the strength to ignore or, you know, put on side, lay aside the things that affect you in a negative way now. The least you think about it, if you had to do something about, do something about, but don't focus on it, because that's the problem, not the solution. The solution is God's promise that he gives you, says, you know, I am the Lord that healeth you, or I will provide for your needs, or I know, whatever promises of God is the things, the glory set. See, those promises are the manifestation of God's glory in our life. And so as we focus on the God's glory that is going to promise to us, you know, we endure without being overcome the situation that we go through. But there's more than that. That's just the beginning. Okay, that is what keeps our attention, and we are going to talk more, because our attention is critical. What we think, what we look at, what we consider, what, you know, that's what affects us. And we have to lay aside the weights and take where we get power, energy, feeling good. And all the scriptures are full of that kind of instruction. You know, not only in this place, but this is an important one to consider and connecting those two scriptures together. Okay. So, you know, he endured the cross. You know, it doesn't say, you know, it's the same word as patience, first of all. Okay, he didn't focus, didn't do, you know, actually didn't lie. It says despising the cross. Actually, you know, the word despising there in Greek means, you know, disregarding or looking down to it. Okay? Despising the shame, endure the cross, despising the shame. Okay, the shame is really the disgrace, the hardship that he was going through. And what accompanies the result, and I sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that's the result. See, the big transition that takes place by doing that, you know, that was the promise. That was what he was expecting, and now what he was focusing himself on. Okay. So the idea is, don't be discouraged. Don't be affected by the circumstances, keep focusing on the right thing. And that's going to help you, give you strength. Following verses. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, which wasn't really right, you know, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. See, your soul is going to be affected by that. Is that's where the enemy gets you. You get weary and discouraged. But if you focus on him, then you get charged up, empowered, and you are not going to be drained all the time by looking at the negative circumstances. You are looking at the things that is coming, and your expectation for the things that is coming is going to empower you, not making you wear or weaken you. Are you still with me? All right. So, continue here. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against the sin. So, you know, you didn't, you know, you went through something bigger than what you're going through. Okay. And you have forgotten the exhortation which I speak to you as of my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Okay. Now, the idea here is that the translation has to do very much, this is a completely taken from the Old Testament scriptures. Okay? This is from Proverbs 3, 11 to 12. The thing is, people forget that Proverbs 3, 11 to 12 comes after Proverbs 3, 5 to 10. And Proverbs 3, 5 to 10 says, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart. Okay. Even if you are, then here he say, so don't be discouraged. Don't be affected by the things that are negative. Trust the Lord, because that's the solution. And this is not the answer. That's not the solution. That's why the things is going to produce problem. Okay? So that's what he's telling us. Okay? The fact that the chastening has to do now with punishing and everything else, the way it was in, by the training, correction, education, caring for children. The word there in the paideia, actually, you know, pedagogy, you know, just teaching. It's teaching you something. Is making, actually, you're training you, is training your faith. Is developing your faith. Okay. Now, it just doesn't allow that to happen, you know, indiscriminately. You know, the enemy tries to get at us. And sometimes we just, because of lack of faith, because of lack of understanding, just let it happen without doing anything instead of reacting the right way. We need to react the right way. We need to understand what's going on. We have to look at the world, the things, the way they are. Okay. So, God is dealing, you know, verse 7, there says, God is dealing with us as son, okay? And so he just take care of us. And there are so many scriptures, and I'm not going to read them all, otherwise you are going to be, you know, all time. So I want to continue, okay? God is not punishing you because you are going through this hardship. But God, he can only interfere only to a certain point. And the degree that God interferes is determined by one thing, what you do, your position, your faith. If you have faith, then you can keep your direction in the right way, and God can keep working on you, giving you the direction, helping you to overcome. But if you give up because of your unbelief, you send their tithe. Just as simple as that. So you had to make the right thing, the right choices, and this is why we had to look at the way Jesus did. I mean, Jesus could have given up. But he didn't. You know, he had to go through the thing, he made the decision, then he made the decision, and that decision is the decision of faith. Yes, I'm going to go through this. I know I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to overcome, even if I go through, I'm going to take on me all the sins of the world. Now, you know, this is important for us to understand so that we can appropriate the same way as he appropriated, the same process that he did, that he showed us, the same way that he operated is we are going to operate as well. He wants us to do that. Are you following me? All right. So, see, we, let me read the scripture here, I don't want to skip this. Hebrews 12:8 says, but if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers. You see, everybody that is connected with Jesus is going to be going through these kind of processes. We all are become partakers of this problems that we go through. But the idea is not to be affected in a negative way. The idea is to, for us to come out on top and to overcome. Okay? And that's the only way to overcome, because that's really the, you know, that's the choice we made to become partakers. Okay? We are engaged in a spiritual walk of faith. Like the great cloud of witnesses of the past. And you have to see yourself that way. And you have to see yourself that like them, you are going to come up on the top. All right? But to do that, you don't do it in your own strength. You have to do it in his strength. You do it by faith. You do it by believing. You do it by holding on your faith, developing patience, and becoming stronger and stronger until the breakthrough comes. See, God is there to help us. God is there to bless us. You know, continuing on James, I was reading before, in verse 16 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. You know, people say, well, you know, God is putting a staff on me. That's not what the word says. See, we have to think the way God thinks. That's the way, see, this is the way that how the victory comes. When we still start thinking about God's things, then God can operate, you know, the power of God is operating in us to give us the victory. And it's not us, it's Him. Okay, so the same thing is in here. Okay, it says, do not be deceived, my beloved. God didn't put this stuff on you. Okay, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation of shadow and turning. So the idea here is, you know, you have to align yourself with God. Allow His thinking to direct us, to direct you. Okay, and how do you align yourself? Well, you align yourself with what God said, with the promises, with the glory set before Him. That's why Jesus did. And as you align yourself with the glory set before Him, you are going to have the strength to deal with the appearances that at the moment may be negative. And instead, you look at the positive that is coming and is motivating you to say, I'm holding on. I mean, I'm not going to stay here. This is temporary. Okay? So, Hebrews chapter 12, going back there. Okay, you know, the thing is, God doesn't change. There's another thing I wanted to stress there. Okay, every good gift and every good, you know, in God there is no variation of shadow or turning. God is always the same. So He's always to help us. He's always to strengthen us. He's always to direct us. He's always, so what we had to do, we had to be like God. We had to be unchangeable. We had to keep going in the direction that gives us the victory. Okay. Now, let me skip some things here. Now, verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 12 says, for they indeed, for a few, they chastened, you know, the parent, our parents, and seemed to us, and seemed best to them. But, you know, God, for our profit, okay, allows this to happen so that we can be partaken of His holiness. I mean, what does it mean to be partaker of His holiness? So that we can separate ourselves from the way the world operates. And we can have the God's glory operating in us. That makes us different from everybody else. Okay? His holiness, okay, is enabling us to overcome the ignorance of our separation from Him and actually get closer and closer to Him. Now, verse 11 says, Now chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. See, you say, the final victory is the training that we have to overcome and brings the peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, that's the final result we are going to get. That's the place in which God wants to see us. And we want to develop and get to. And if we hold on to our faith, this is what we are going to see. Okay. The thing is, when we don't know things, and we often don't, you know, we can do silly things, wrong decision, expose yourself, get in trouble. Okay. But we have to, if we listen, if we, by faith, keep connecting with Him, connected with Him instead of looking at the circumstances, we look at His promise. And if we look at His promise and the circumstances don't affect our emotions, then we are able to hear what He tells us. If our emotions are affected, we are going to close up what God is trying to tell us. Because we are caught up by trying to deal with our flesh with the situation we are in. We are not going to hear anything from God. We are going to just feel sorry for ourselves. Take down everything else, and we are going to make the wrong decision because we are deciding things in the flesh. When instead, if we keep in the right frame of mind, the right spirit, then God is going to be able to communicate with us, and we are going to have ear to ear to receive His direction. So instead of, you know, being desperate and knowing, I don't know what to do, yeah, go to God, ask direction, ask information, ask, you know, what to do. He's going to tell you exactly what to do. But you have to believe. You know, if you are not operating in faith, God is speaking to you and you are shutting Him off because, as you know, it doesn't make any sense. And often, you know, to our mind, what He says doesn't make any sense because He's going to tell us, don't look at it. The same way as Abraham didn't have to look at the fact that he was almost 100 years old. I mean, if he was looking about the fact that he was 100 years old, he says, you know, let's give up here. There's no way. You know, I'm almost 100. My wife is gone too. You know, there is no way anybody can do anything. And God said, no, you're going to be the father of many nations. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. God doesn't make sense to that. You know, retarded logic. So, but you see, what this Jesus strategy does, okay, is enable us to control our focus. By controlling our focus, by controlling what we give attention to, that controls our attitude. The way that we are not going to be a weary, feeling sorry for ourselves attitude. We are going to have an attitude that says, let's keep going. I'm going to make it. This is what I'm going to get. So you look at the promise instead of looking at the other things. Okay? So that's why you take charge of your attitude. Because you realize that the physical world is not it. But the spiritual world is the source of the other. And you are operating at that level, not this level. Okay? But you have to realize and understand the difference between the two realities, the two worlds. Otherwise, you are going to be caught up. And that's what all the world that don't believe in a spiritual dimension, you know, is caught up in. The only thing that they see is the physical thing, not realizing that, you know, actually the physical things can be changed. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, you know, says, therefore, we do not lose heart. You see, that's what, you know, don't get weary. You know, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, you know, I mean, looks like we are going to have lots of trouble, okay? Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You know, how is it being renewed day by day? It's not automatic. The renewal day by day is because you connect with God. It's because you go to the Word. You renew your mind. You focus your eyes on what Jesus did and the promises of God, and you hold on to that. That's what renews you. Otherwise, look at the world, and you're going to be depleted. Okay, so you cannot go and receive strength from the physical that is negative, but you receive renewal and strength from the spiritual dimension, from reading the Word, by listening to what God says, by following His direction. Okay? For our light afflictions, he calls it light afflictions. Okay, well, that's an attitude we have to take. This is nothing compared to what I'm going to get. Okay, light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. I'm going to read that again. is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, that's the thing that we have to compare. Okay, this is a problem that's for a moment, for a while, and looks like it's lasting forever, but doesn't matter because I have eternal glory waiting for me. And so there is a complete different dimension of the thing that we are dealing with. Okay, this is the path to victory. When while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See, the things that are seen are the physical thing. The things that are not seen are the spiritual thing. God's promises, the existence of what Jesus did for us, you know, that by his stripes we were healed. And all the other things that, you know, the world shows us, and the power that is in the world that we can go to and receive the strength to keep going. Okay. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, that's the understanding we have to have, because if we don't have that understanding, then we go by the physical thing. And we have to really believe in the reality of the physical dimension, otherwise, of the spiritual dimension, because otherwise, the only thing you go by the physical. Okay? And that has an effect on you. That is enable you to have that position. Okay? We do not look at the things. We do not lose heart. And we at the same time work ourselves in the spiritual dimension. You know, like for example, make that faith decision. I'm going to trust God. Like Proverbs 3:5 and following. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And you take that position. Oh, you know, maybe Psalm 71, verse 1. Oh, Lord, I put my trust in you. Okay. Let me never be put to shame. So, you know, you put in the self, the position of faith that you take that determine what the way you are your attitude. You see, this is the, you have to look at, you see, that's why I always talk, our attitude is so important. Our attitude is something that we can see very well. I mean, you know very well if you go around, moping around and feeling sorry for yourself, or you go and say, no, I'm going to do it. You know, that's not difficult to figure out. Some of the other things are difficult, but your attitude is always easy to determine because it's expressed in a physical way. Okay. So from your attitude, you know if you are in faith, or if you are in unbelief. And if you are in unbelief, you have to take that position. Say, no, I'm trusting God. And you take the position, and you are not moving from there, and you look at the promises that are relating to the situation you are in. Okay? And so what you start to do is start to declare your position. This is what here is saying in Psalm 71 and many other places, okay, many other Psalms. Okay, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Okay, deliver me from your righteousness, in your righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. You know, really, this is making a statement of a position that he takes more than anything else. It's not, you know, it's trusting in God, you know. Be my strong refuge. That's the position we take so that we know that. You know, let me finish this verse here. Because be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You see, I go to you all the time. This is where I'm going to stand. That's the way he's going to give me the strength to stand. For you are my rock and my fortress. See, that is a statement. Okay. Actually, I skipped something here. You know, you have given the commandment to save me. That's interesting. Okay. The commandment doesn't reflect quite, actually there the word in Hebrew should better be translated the declaration of to save me. You see, you have spoken the word. His word is established in heaven. So you have spoken the word to save me. That's enough. Now, what we do is we speak his word. So the same declaration that he did, we are going to do too, because we are going to line up our thinking with his thinking. See, as we think the way he thinks, we are lined up with him, and so we are in agreement with him, and so he is going to be in us operating in the things that we need to receive. So, you know, that's one of the things we have to learn, is to learn to speak the word of the promise in us, in declaring it, accepting it, receiving it, expressing it, taking that position within ourselves so that we are already settled in the place we should be. Are you following what I'm saying? So this is the place where we have to get to. And we have to see when our attitude lines up with that. And so when we declare something, we actually are not just using empty word, but we are actually reflecting our attitude, and we are actually expressing our faith. Praise the Lord. See, this is what enables us to do. And, you know, there are so many scriptures. The idea is, you know, we don't just stop. Say, I believe in God. We look at the scriptures. We see this, what the scriptures say. We take that position of the scripture. We realize our position, our attitude is. And we make sure that we line up with the word of God. And when we are there, we start declaring the word of God. And so we keep our alignment with that so that we don't get tired and weak and defeated. But we keep an attitude of victory, and we keep maintaining that attitude of victory no matter what the circumstances are. And by the time that we forgot about their circumstances, because you are so focused on what the word of God, so focused on what the promise of God is, you come to the moment in which you turn around and you don't find the problem anymore. Because God dealt with it. And it's not you. Because you cannot overcome yourself. But he is our strength. He is our refuge. He is an enabler. He is giving us the power and the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit to be able to get the things that he promised. And just to close with for this, you know, what you have to do at this, you know, what you do all along, you know, the fact that you keep that position all the time, you have to be feeding on the word all the time. You are staying in the word. You know, Proverbs 4:20-24, you know, my son, attend to my word, you know, incline your ear to my saying, keep it in the midst of your heart. You know, that's the thing that actually produces in you and keeping you the attention in the right direction. So this is not work. This is simply the fact that you are lining yourself up with the word of God, staying in the word, and allowing the word to manifest strength in you. Okay, because it's affecting your heart in the right way and empowering you all along instead of being drained by looking at the other things. Is that clear? So you see, no matter what the circumstances, you can overcome. Okay? But you had something to do. It is not automatic. It's not, oh, I trust God. Well, you trust God and you focus on all the problems and you are going to go down with them. You trust God and take the step that correspond to trusting God. And God's strength is going to be in you to take you the other side of the story. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Let's close in prayer and start actually doing this. Yeah, I had lots of other pages here. Good. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, you taught how to perfect our faith, so that we may need nothing. That everything is going to be provided for us. Not by our abilities, but by your power and your strength. By your word working in us, enabling us to overcome any trial, any circumstance, any problem. Nothing is too big for you to overcome. All things are possible to them that believe. And today we declare that we are victorious. We are victorious over everything. Any circumstance, any enemy, anything that comes against us shall be defeated by your power. Because the battle is yours and the victory is ours. And we praise you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, who won the victory and defeated them so that we can have victory too. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.